Today we're learning Tmura Daf Gimel. We're going to start at the top of the page by the two dots, about six lines down, Amar Mar. We saw yesterday, just to review, we saw Braita. It started about eight lines from the bottom, Tashma, Detanya, Kodshe of Dei Kochavim. I'm just going to repeat it because we're going to go through all the parts of this Braita. Kodshe of Dei Kochavim, Lo Nehenim Velo Mo'alim. There's no Me'ila when it comes to sanctified items of Ovdei Kochavim. What we're really going to get at today is when an Ovdei Kochavim designates something for a korban, what's its status? Does it have the regular status of a korban, or is it a totally different category? How is it going to be the same? How is it going to be different? And we saw there's a machloket in this braita, which we'll understand better today. So lo nehenim velo mo'alim means there's no dinu me'ila midoraita, but midorabanan, you shouldn't benefit from it, because me'ila, again, is benefiting from consecrated property. All the laws of pigul notar and tame, again, are all the laws not applicable at all, or are they applicable just so you don't get the curry for it if you eat it? There's no din of tmura, which was our issue. They don't bring the libations. We gave two interpretations. Either it means they can't ever bring nisachim, but their korban needs nisachim, and therefore right, other people have to bring it. Which, by the way, I saw today that the Rambam has an approach. What we talked about yesterday was, theoretically, he's supposed to give the money for it, but if he doesn't, then the Beit HaMikdash has to pitch in the money. According to the Rambam, l'chatchila, the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to kick in the money. And that l'chatchila, basically, which is really interesting, because what does it basically mean? It means if we don't allow him to bring them himself, then we certainly can't obligate him to bring them. What's the nisachim of his korban? Well, any sacrifice that goes in the Beit HaMikdash has to go with nisachim, and therefore the Beit HaMikdash has to put up the money for it. It has nothing to do with the non-Jew at all. In other words, it's not his chiyuv. We can't obligate him to do something that we won't let him do. Right? It's almost unfair. How do you say, you can't do something, but yet you have to pay for it? So the Rambam actually views it very interestingly that he does that. Even like he's not even supposed to bring the money for it. Other people understand ein chayvin amivim nisachim again means they can't bring a voluntary nisachim offering. But when it comes to a korban that needs nisachim to go along with it, he does. That was Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi said bekulan ani ro'el lahachmir. A machmir in everything, which again we're going to see what's he machmir in. It's not so clear. Okay, we'll go back to that in a bit. So starting again on the sixth line. Top Gimel. Amar Mar. Mukdashay of Dei Kochavim, Lo Nehenim, Velo Mo'alim. We're now going to see the sources for all these halachot. Lo Nehenim Midrabanan, Velo Mo'alim Midoraita. Right? That's what we said. It's all Midrabanan. You can't benefit, but there's no Mi'ila Midin Doraita. My time, what's the reason? Dichtiv, it says by Mi'ila. Nefesh Kitim O Baal. That's the din of Mi'ila, right? If you do Mi'ila. Vechata'a Bishkaga. Okay, Mi'ila is only Bishkaga. You only bring the korban mi'ila, all the stuff about mi'ilas, when you do it by accident. And notice what word there is? Chet. V'yalpinan chet chet mitruma. And they learn the word chet appears by truma also. And therefore they learned, just like chet appears by truma, and chet appears by mi'ila, we're going to learn one from the other. Okay, still we don't yet know how we learn that truma is only by Jews. But the chet chet by truma, the pasuk is Vayikra Kaf Betet Bishamru et Mishmarti Velo Yisu Alav Chet. Okay, they shouldn't get a chet for taking care of my truma properly. In other words, if you take care of it properly, you won't get a chet. Ve'umetu bo ki yichalalu. Right, you're going to get mita bidei shamayim if you desecrate the truma. So there you have chet. By me'ili you have chet, and now we're going to say ubetruma k'tiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdei kochavim. Okay, by truma it says the pasuk is Vayidaber Hashem al Aaron. I gave you my truma, Aharon the Kohanim, have my truma to protect. L'chol kodshe b'nei Yisrael, for all the things that b'nei Yisrael sanctify, meaning all the truma that b'nei Yisrael give, meaning truma is only relevant to Jews. If truma is only relevant to Jews, and there it says chet, by me'ila it says chet, and it's interesting, chet appears in a lot of places. But again, this is all, Gzeirah Shavas are all learned by Masoret. There's a tradition about them. Therefore, we're going to learn the Me'il is also only Bnei Yisrael. That's the first halacha. So that's how we learn there's no din of Me'ila Midoraita by Kodshim of a non-Jew. Second halacha from the Braita. Ein chayavin alehem mishum pigol notar v'tame. So if you remember, pigol notar and tame always kind of go together, and there's all these words that connect the three. There's a kind of like a string of words. This learns to that, and that learns to that. That's what we're going to do today again. We've seen this sugya a bunch of times. Dichtiv ba betuma. What does it say by tuma? Taber el Aaron be'el banav v'yinazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichallelu et shem kodshi, etc. So what's the pasuk they're talking about? Speak to Aaron and his sons. V'yinazru, they should keep away from kodshei b'nei Yisrael. Now, what kind of kodshim is it talking about? Obviously, kodshim they keep next to. They deal with kodshim all the time. It means kodshim that became tameh. So there the context is tuma. And then what does it say there? Below yichalalu, so that they don't desecrate. Right? If they start dealing with kodshim that are tameim, they will desecrate the name of God. So there you see, it's only Jews, because again, what does it say? Mi kodshe b'nei Yisrael. So therefore, we see the kodshim of non-Jews, the din of tuma doesn't apply. Again, what does it mean doesn't apply? It means if you were to eat tameimi, you wouldn't get kariyot for it. V'yalif notar chilu mituma. Okay, so that's how we get our source for tuma. Then from tuma we get to notar. Why? Because of the same words. Halal appears by tameh, the same root, and halal appears by notar. Okay, we just read below yichalalu hashem kodshi. That was by tuma. Tichtiv gabei tuma b'nei Yisrael below yichalalu, as we just read. Uchtiv gabei notar v'ochlav avono yisa ki et kodesh hashem chilel. There you have the same root. Therefore, we're going to learn one from the other. The yalef, this is what we've seen before, this whole drasha from tameh to notar, and then from notar to pigul, and it's like the distributive property, right? Once A equals B, then B can equal C. Okay, so what's the connection between pigul and notar? The yalef pigul avon avon mi notar. Okay, the word avon appears by pigul, and the word avon appears by notar. So we're going to learn from notar to pigul. Dichtiv gabei pigul v'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimenu avonotisa. So there you have it. We've gotten now from notar to pigul, from halal halal, avon avon, and that's how we're going to learn, since tameh is only by b'nei Yisrael, because it said v'yinezru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, therefore we're going to learn here also to pigul and notar. V'kulu b'nei Yisrael v'lovdei kochavim. Right, so that's what we said, and therefore they're all b'nei Yisrael and not of de kochavim. That's okay, so we dealt with Me'ila, we got it from Chet Chet from Truma. We dealt with Tami Notar and Pigul. We learned it out from all from the Tuma case. And now we have to get to the next case of Tmura. Eino sin Tmura, that's our case. Tichtiv, lo yachlifenu velo yamir. Okay, that's in Vayikra Kav Zayin, Pasuk Yud. Okay, so it's Pasuk Yud of Perek Kav Zayin. Now, if you go back to the beginning of that parak, Pasuk Bet, which is not so far away, what does it start with? Erchin. By the way, now you see why Erchin and Shmura come right after each other, because they're right next to each other in the Psukim. And Erchin starts off, Dabero b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, ish ki afli neder be'erkecha. Okay, so what do you see here? So it says by Tmura, lo yechlifenu v'lo yamir, uchti bereishin yan. In the beginning of that parak it says, sorry, I skipped reading those words inside, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ish ki afli neder be'erkecha. So what do you see? That there, it's only, Dabar b'nei Yisrael, it said there, only to the Jewish people. Therefore, the laws of Tmura apply only to the Jewish people. Okay? That's one option. It's not the strongest because it doesn't say it directly by this halacha. So there happens to be a lishna achrina. Usually there's another option when it's not exactly convincing. Ve'ein osim tmura, my taima, de'itkish tmurat behema, lamaser behema. We learned tmura, if you remember, we talked about yesterday, the tmura appears in two locations. One is by tmura of a korban, and one is tmura of maser behema. What's maser behema? You have to take a tenth of your animals, and you have to sacrifice them in the Beit HaMikdash. There also it says you can't switch the animals. So here, what do we say, right? We learned all about that not so long ago, about switching of the animals. So what do we say here? Itkish tmurat behema lemaser behema. We're going to learn tmurat behema from maser behema, because also the words of tmurah appear by maser behema. Maser behema lemaser dagan. And once we're in the world of maser, well, we're going to learn the animal tithes from the maser dagan, from the maser of the crops. Now, what about maser? So still, we're not we haven't yet gotten to how we learn it's only Jews. Gabe ma'aser dagan k'tiv, ki et ma'aser b'nei Yisrael ha'shayarimu la'Hashem. So what does it say there? It refers to the ma'aser in a pasuk about, I think they're talking about trumat ma'aser, that the Levi'im have to give a truma to the Kohanim from their ma'aser. And it says ma'aser b'nei Yisrael. So what do you see here? B'nei Yisrael v'lo v'dei kochavim. So once we get from there, we go from ma'aser Dagan to Maser Behema, from Maser Behema to Tmurat Behema. And that's also a little long-winded, maybe. Maybe that's why there's two opinions here. Neither one is very strong, but we have, and in any case, non-Jews, Tmurat is not Tmurat. Okay. Ve'en mevi nisachim. Okay, they don't bring nisachim. Aval korbanot ha'un nisachim devei Rabbi Shimon. Minan emili. Where do we get this from, that they don't bring nisachim? Well, in the section of nisachim, if you remember, there was this summary verse. We learned this a while ago in Menachot. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk. It's in Vayikra, Bamidbar Tedvav Yud Gimel. Kol ha'ezrach yaseh kacha et ele la'akriv isherech nichoach la'ashem. A few strange words. Kol ha'ezrach doesn't usually appear in the Torah. And yaseh kacha et ele. He will do like this, all these things. Okay, which was the nisachim that they discussed in the previous pasukim. So what do they say? Ezrach, what does that teach you? Ezrach mevi nisachim, ve'eno ve'kochavim mevi nisachim. Okay, Ezrach, a local, you know, someone, one of the Jews, and not a non-Jew. Yachol lo tehe olato tu'una nisachim. You might have thought then, well, if he doesn't bring nisachim, so maybe his korban ola doesn't even need nisachim, right? That's what we talked about before. His ola does need nisachim, but where do we get that from? He's not chayav. Wouldn't you think a korban ola, a burnt offering that he brings, shouldn't need nisachim? Again, why are we talking about an ola? Because remember the pasuk we learned darshan yesterday, for a non-Jew to bring korbanot, that his korbanot, he can bring voluntary offerings, and it said there, le'ola la'Hashem. Okay, meaning, and then we said that some people think he can only bring a korban ola, that he can't bring a voluntary offering that's not an ola. There's a debate about it. But anyway, the context of the pasuk is clearly an ola, and that's why they're saying maybe his ola doesn't need nisachim. Talmud lamar kacha. And kacha means every time these sacrifices are brought, they have to be brought in the following manner. Meaning, even if a non-Jew brings them, it's just the non-Jew himself is not chayav. And that's what we talked about earlier, machloka Rambam and others, about whether lechatchila, is he supposed to give the money for it, he just can't bring them, or maybe lechatchila, this money is supposed to come from the Beit HaMikdash in any case. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Now we're going to deal with this confusing line of Rabbi Yossi, who says, Ro'eh ani b'kulan lachmir. Maybe it's not so confusing. It sounds like he's saying, all of these cases, the non-Jews included. However, if you look in Rashi, before we even get into what Rabbi Yossi says, Rashi says, back on the previous Amud, if you look, he says, b'kulan ro'eh ani lachmir. So what's the list? D'lo neheninu mo'alim, about the Me'ila, chayavim mishum pigol no tarvitame, kishar kodeshim, chutz min ha'nisachim devadai emivim. He brings the whole list, he splits them into two, he says, nisachim, I do think they don't have to bring, but all the others, I think we have to be machmir. But it's not really the whole list. He eliminates, he removes one thing from his list. What's missing in his list? Tmura, our case. Surprisingly, Rashi doesn't even mention it. So the question is, where does Tmura go? Most people think because Rashi doesn't say Tmura, he's included on Machmir, and then that we're not Machmir. And he agrees that Ein Osim Tmura. But Tosfot thinks that Tmura is included. Okay, so it's a debate about what he thinks. The question is, what's really going on in his mind about this? In other words, what's the machloket here about whether we include? So again, it goes back to what I started with today about the question is there an actual difference in the sanctity of a korban that was dedicated by a non-Jew? Is it the exact same thing? According to Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like pretty much it's the exact same thing. There's just a few exceptions, okay? Nisachim and Tmura. So one could explain that maybe Tmura is an exception because Tmura is, what do we say about Tmura? The whole thing is we don't want you to be chasal mamono, you know, and say, oh, you know, I'm worried about my possessions, I'm going to give less money. So it's all connected to the owner of the sacrifice, whereas pigul, no, tartame, have nothing to do with the owner. In fact, pigul, remember, it's not even the owner who does pigul, it's the kohen who does pigul, he has the wrong machshava. So when it has to do with ownership of it, like Tmura, so the non-Jews on the outs. But once he brings it to the temple, well, then all the regular rules of tuma, no tarpigal, everything applies. It's a regular sacrifice. That could be an explanation of Rashi, who thinks that tmura would be different, right? That there would be a difference in tmura to the others. One second. What was the other option I wanted to say? Right. So I just wanted to view it more. The tamura, we view more as a also think about it. What's tamura? Tamura is coming as a penalty for the owner. We want to penalize the owner so that he doesn't do this. Right? We don't want him to all of a sudden say, I sanctify this, but I don't really want to sanctify this. I want to, you know, give less money. So it's penalty on the owner. So then the owner, we're talking about Jewish ownership and not anyone else. Whereas all the other things are all just dependent on sanctity of a sacrifice. And that would therefore be no difference. And that could be an explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. So now let's just read again inside Rabbi Yossi. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rani B'kulam Lach, Mir my time, huh? La Shem K'tiv Be'ah, because look at the pasuk that we learned out about the non-Jew. It says, "Deber al Aron ve'banav l'kumen Yisrael v'marta lehem ish ish mi Beit Yisrael u'min ager bi Yisrael asher yakriv korbano l'chol nidareim u'l'chol nidvotam asher yakrivu la Hashem le'ola." So what do you see here? Here they're makrivim la Hashem, we're makrivim la Hashem. We're all kind of equal in this, and the sanctity is the same. Okay. Next line in the Braita, the last part. In which case is this said? And we basically say we're referring to the Me'ila in the beginning. Ein mo'alim, right? We said there's a few different interpretations, but we'll stick with ein mo, right? Ein nehenim, but ein mo'alim, right? There is no Me'ila. That's all but Kedushat Mizbeach. Okay, that's if a non-Jew dedicates an animal to the temple for a sacrifice. Aval b'kodshei Beit HaBayit, if he sanctifies an item for the use in the Beit HaMikdash, mo'alim b'hem, there is a din of Me'ila. This seems a little strange. Because we always call Kedushat Mizbeach is a much higher sanctity. It's got Kedushat Aguf. And Kedushat Beit HaBayit is much less. You can always redeem it, etc. So it seems actually odd here that we're saying Kedushat Mizbeach of a non-Jew doesn't have sanctity for Me'ila, and Kedushat Beit HaBayit do. We're actually being machmer. So we'll get back to that question in a minute. My time, huh? Dechi gamrina Me'ila, chet chet mitruma, dumia ditruma. The Kadosh Kedushat Aguf. Remember, where do we learn it from? Doesn't have Me'ila. We learned it from Truma. Truma is only for Jews. Also, Me'ila is only for Jews. But what's unique about Truma? Truma is Kedushat Aguf. You can't redeem, be poed at the Truma and turn it into something else. Once it's Kadosh Kedushat Aguf. About Kedushat Beit HaKabayit, the Kedushat Tamim, lo. Okay? So now we're going to talk for a minute about, doesn't really say it here, but why wouldn't we make that obvious Kavachomer? Once Kedushat Tamim doesn't have Me'ila, all the more so, Kedushat Mizbeach shouldn't. So here again, it goes back to what we said before. Kedushat Mizbeach, once you bring something to the, if you bring an animal to the Beit HaMikdash, you don't just bring it for anyone, you bring it for your own sacrifice. So that animal still is connected with its original owner, which is the non-Jewish owner. So therefore, we're going to treat it differently. We're going to say there's no Me'ila. But if you bring an item to dedicate to the Beit HaMikdash, it no longer has the non-Jew's name on it. I was thinking it's like a shul, right? People dedicate something and they put their name on it. Let's even say that he puts his name on it. Even if he puts his name on it, it's not just for his use only, right? Someone dedicates a Kiseh Shel Eliyahu and it has their name in big on the Kiseh Shel Eliyahu. Everybody uses the Kiseh Shel Eliyahu. Whereas if he brings an animal, it's his animal for his korban. No one else can use that animal for their korban. So that's why we're going to say there's no Dina Me'ila when it's still connected to his name. But once he gives something for use in the Beit HaMikdash, first of all, anyone else can redeem it, and you know it's just the values. Kadosh. It is no longer connected to his name anymore, and therefore it becomes like regular hekdesh, and we can't start distinguishing, and therefore we're going to treat it with the Dina Me'ila. So that's a good explanation for why even the logic would state if that sanctified, if that doesn't have Me'ila, for sure, Beit HaKabayit shouldn't, but here's a good explanation for why not. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now we're going to get into, and this is going to take us till the end, about Lav She'en Bo Maaseh, which we talked about already. Right? We started off with the fact that Tmura is a Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. There's no actual act. It's just by speech. You're changing the sanctity, right? You're trying to take the sanctity off of this animal, which you obviously can't do. And not only that, it wasn't even effective what you did. So really, it's a Lav She'en Bo Maaseh, although we'll debate. Maybe it's not exactly a Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. Right now, we're going to assume it's a Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. And yet, what does it say in our Mishnah? You get Malkut. So now we're going to talk about Bichlal, the idea that Lav She'en Bo Maaseh, you don't get Malkut, and we'll talk about some exceptions to the rule. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ko lo ta'aseh shebatorah, asa ba maaseh chayav. If you do an act, if it says don't do it, and you do some sort of act that goes against it, chayav, you get Malkut. Lo asa ba maaseh, but if you didn't actually do an act, patur, you don't get Malkut. Uklalahu, and it's actually a general principle. Delav she'en bo maaseh patur. So now they ask, v'harei meimar, but look at Tamura. Delav she'en bo maaseh hu v'lakeh. It's a classic lav shein b'masa, and you get malkot. It's not. And how do we know you get malkot? Because our Mishnah says so. Lo shu rashai lahamir, ela she'im himir mumar v'safek et arba'im. Right? Not that he's allowed to do tamura, but if he did, it works, and he gets malkot. So, amar l'charav, again, amar l'cha means we're putting words in his mouth, we don't really know, but how would Rav answer this question? Hamane, Rabbi Yehuda hi. Very simply, although we'll see it's not so simple. It must be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now we're going to learn that lav shein bo ma'aseh is a machloket, whether you get malkot or not. So now we're going to suggest that maybe our mission is only according to Rabbi Yehuda d'amar, lav shein bo ma'aseh lo kina lav. He has a unique opinion that you do get malkot on the lav shein bo ma'aseh. Umi matzit mukvan. Now, why is it weird? Do you remember what we learned yesterday? Why would it be weird to say our Mishnah goes by Rabbi Yehuda? Umi matzit mukvan lemanitin k'Rabbi Yehuda. V'hau kimta l'reisha. We already said the beginning part of the Mishnah was delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Review from yesterday. Tikatane. It says in the Mishnah hakol mimirim. And what did the Gemara infer? Hakol atu yemai. What does hakol come to include? Yoresh. That yoresh mimir. Right, his tmua is effective if he does tmua for his father's korban. So udilo ki Rabbi Yehuda, and that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who said yoresh eino mimir. Right, yoresh eino somech, yoresh eino mimir. So what can we answer? Hi, Tana Sava lekavate bechada de lav shein bo maase lo kina lav upalegale bechada deilu Rabbi Yehuda savar yoresh eino somech, yoresh eino mimir v'tana didan savar yoresh somech, yoresh mimir. What do we say? When it comes to lav shein bo maaseh, the Tana of our Mishnah held like Rabbi Yehuda, and when it comes to the issue of yoresh meimir or not, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We've seen that before, where you could have a later Tana who agrees with him about one issue and disagrees with another. So that's our explanation of the Mishnah for right now. V'tana didan savar yoresh somech. Amar Rav Idi bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yossi Aglili. Okay, a long line of who passes down the name of who. So they say in the name of Rav Yossi Aglili, Kol lo ta'aseh shebatorah, asaba ma'aseh loke, lo asaba ma'aseh patur. Okay, same thing we saw before. So far, so same thing. Alav shein bo ma'aseh, you don't get malkot. Alav shein bo ma'aseh, you don't get malkot. If it has a ma'aseh, you get malkot. Chutz mi nishba umeimar umekalel chavero b'shem. Except for three exceptions to the rule. And this would then say that our Mishnah doesn't have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah could hold like the general, it's just this is an exception. So here are the three exceptions. We're going to go into detail about what exactly are the cases of this Nishba Meimar Makala Chaveiro B'Shem. So Afa Pishalo Asama Aseh Chayav. Mishum, here's a fourth. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and as he passed down a fourth, Amru Afa Makdim Truma LeBikurim. Okay, what does this mean? There's an order of how you have to take. First you take bikurim, then you take truma, then you take, right, then there's like a whole list of which maaser you do first and all down the list.
A couple times a year.
Yeah, but when the beginning, you'd have to take, if you have bikurim and truma in front of you, you have to take bikurim first. If you took truma first, that would be a lav shein bo maaseh. Now, why is that a lav shein bo maaseh? Well, theoretically, there's two ways to look at it, okay? Either you say, any taking of truma is a lav shein bo maaseh. Now, what do? You take fruits, you designate them, right? And you say, this is truma, but you haven't really done anything to them. What's a maaseh? A maaseh is usually you've done something to it. You've just separated it and designated it in words saying, this is truma. But really, it's not inherently different from anything else at this point, right? Obviously, it has kedusha, but that's not, you didn't do anything actually to it except by designating it by words. That's one option. Rabbeinu Gershom actually thinks that that would actually be considered a maaseh because you separated them out, you put them in a, you know, you did do something. He claims that because you can do, okay, that we learned this, that you can do truma b'machshava, that where you could just think alone. You just think, you have a pile in front of you, you say, I want to eat the following part, I'm going to designate that side of the pile as truma, and I'm going to eat from this side, without actually separating it. Since you can do it b'machshava, he's saying, well, if you did it b'machshava, and you did, and he's saying this case is only if you did it with machshava and you designated in your head, in your mind, and then that would be below maaseh. But once you kind of separate it with your hands, that would be considered maaseh. It's again, what are we getting into that's really interesting here? What is actually considered an action? Right? Is tamura an action? And it's theoretically you're moving kedusha onto something else. Maybe that's an action. It's just like you're saying this is truma, you know, and you're designating it, you're separating it aside. Could that be a maaseh or not? So these are. It's very unclear where we draw the line between a maaseh and not a maaseh. Okay, so he adds this fourth one. Now we're going to go into detail of all these cases. Nishba minalan. Where do we get that nishba you're going to get malko for? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amar Ka, in the Seret Hadibrot, I'll read from the beginning of the Pasuk, Lo tisat shem Hashem elokecha lashav, but you can't swear for no reason in the name of God, Ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisat shmo lashav. What do they learn from this? Lo yinakeh Hashem. Hashem will never forgive you, basically, will never wipe it out. So, what do we say? Beitin shamala emin akinoto. Beitin shamala, right? That means Hashem won't kind of give you kapara for doing this, atonement, but ava beitin shamata malkinoto emin akinoto. Here we see, this is like, we always talk about Yer Miklat. We said it's on the one hand, it's a punishment. On the other hand, it protects you, right? It's got both elements. Really, all punishments have both elements because all punishments provide you with atonement. So, here they're looking at the positive side of it. The baiting can give you malkot, and that provides you with atonement. Okay, we're going to have to discuss in a minute. Well, if you have atonement, if we just said God won't give you atonement, so what kind of atonement are you getting from the baiting? But okay, let's hold off on that for a minute.
Also, do you have to do tshuva, or the lashes are not?
So the assumption is that by getting lashes and by being humiliated in front of people, that is your atonement. That kind of, either it changes you as a person. That's the assumption. You go to jail, you become a rehabilitated person, right? There's all these theories about the jail is not just a punishment, it's rehabilitative.
There's no personal introspection. It's like something is being done to you.
Again, but the assumption is that it causes you to be introspective. Again, it doesn't always. What were you saying?
No, I said jail is supposed to be retribution, deterrence, and rehabilitation.
Exactly. It doesn't always work that way, but sometimes it does. Yeah. So, okay, so now, Amar le Rav Papa l'Abaye, ve'ema lo tehave le'nikiyut klal. Why are you assuming that lo yinakeh Hashem means God isn't going to provide you with atonement, but the Beitin can? It certainly doesn't say that. Maybe, no, you can't ever get atonement. So, what do they answer? Amar le, im kein liftof kral lo yinakeh, ve'lishtok. It should have just said the words lo yinakeh and nothing else, right? Lishtok, and, you know, stop talking, meaning the pasuk should have stopped there. Hashem l'amali, why does it say lo yinakeh Hashem? Ah, that's specifically to say, Beitin Shamala Hudeim and Akinoto, Ava Beitin Shamata Malkinum and Akinoto. Okay, so now, they don't ask the question that I asked, but the Mefarshim do, which is, what kind of kapara are you getting if God's not atoning for you? Right? Isn't atonement generally kapay God? Especially if we're talking about a Shavuah, it's not necessarily Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. You could say Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, but not Ben Adam L'Makom. So that is one of the answers, in fact, that he gets kapara when it comes to, you know, people in this world, but God will not necessarily forgive him. Some people say that we can assume that he's no longer, so first of all, what does that mean to get kapara in this world, or, you know, with humans and not with God? It means that we won't suspect him anymore of swearing falsely, so we'll accept him in a court of law, okay? But, you know, he's still got issues to deal with God. Another option is to say that there's two elements of lying falsely in the name of God. There's lying, which that he gets atonement for, but there's also chilul shem Hashem. And the desecration of God's name, he doesn't get atonement for. So it's almost like there's a split and there's two things going on here that he did. Okay. So that was all to explain how we know that if you swear falsely, you're going to get malkot, because the pasuk said shvacha, and it said lo yinakeh Hashem, which means we inferred the Beitin can't give malkot for it. But that only teaches us about a shvuah, right? There's all different types of shvuah. There's shvuah shav and the shvuah sheker. What's the difference? Shvuah shav is, right, this pillar of stone is a pillar of silver. That was the case they gave in the Mishnah in Shvuot. Okay? Or, right, the shvuah sheker, which you say, okay, now shvuah sheker, if you remember, goes, there's four options of shvuah sheker. There's two future and two past. Okay, let's do a good review of shvuah. Okay, there's shvuah shelo ochal, I won't eat, and then you go ahead and eat. There's shvuah sheochal, I will eat, and then you don't eat. There's shvuah sheachalti, I already ate when you didn't eat. And the shvuah shelo achalti, I didn't eat yesterday, but you really did. Or I didn't eat that cookie in the refrigerator, right, that you claim I ate. Right? And you actually did. So those are your four options. So now they're going to say like this. Eshechan shvuah shav. So we understand that for shvuah shav you get malko. But shvuah sheker minalan, it just said nishba. They're assuming nishba includes shvuah shav and shvuah sheker. So how do you know shvuah sheker you get malko? Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, he himself said, because remember, he was the one who said this line about, right, it was passed down in his name, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amar lashav lashav pshnei pa'amim. In that pasuk that we quoted for the Aseret HaDibrot, it said, Shfuat, right, let's just read it. Lo tisat shem Hashem elokecha lashav, that's one. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisat shmo lashav, that's two. So, we're going to do an imeinu inyan. Remember, if it's not necessary the second time to say shav, because we already know that, imeinu inyan l'shvuat shav, tenei inyan l'shvuat sheker. Let's just assume it's applying to something else. What would be something else similar to shvuat shav? Shvuat sheker, diloke. And that teaches us, the second time it says shav, is to teach us, also shvuat sheker, you get malkut. So, matkifla Rabbi Yavahu. Rabbi Yavahu now throws, you know, attacks this answer by saying, shvuat sheker hechidami. What kind of shvuat sheker are we talking about? And here we're going to get into our four possibilities. Inema, if you want to say de amar shelo ochal, I'm not going to eat ve'achal. Well, that hatam hu maase avid. He actually did a maase. That's a lav she yesh bo maase. That's not a lav she ein bo maase. Can't be that, because what's the maase? He ate. When he ate, he went against his shvua. He turned it into a shvuat sheker. That's a maase. Of course, you're going to get malkot. No, you don't need a special limud for that. Ve'ela da amar she'ochal ve'lo achal. But if he says I'm going to eat and he doesn't eat, hahumi lake, he's going to get malkot for that. We know for sure he doesn't get malkot according to all opinions. How so? Vahitmar, it was said, and hopefully you'll remember this. We learned this whole thing already in Shvuot, and it came up in Malkot Nusachim. Shvua she'ochal kikar ze hayom ve'avar hayom ve'lo achal. You say, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today, and the day passes and you didn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, they have a machloket about this. But both of them say, Amre eino loke. But they each say eino loke for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan amare eino loke de lav shein bo maase. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is a lav shein bo maase, and you don't get malkot. First of all, already we could stop here. It's obvious if Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malkot because it's a lav shein bo maase, and Rabbi Yochanan quoted before, this is an exception to the rule, it's a lav shein bo maase, but you do get malkot. He obviously can't be talking about this case, because he explicitly said this case is not an exception to the rule. Rish Lakish amar eino loket mishum dehav elei hatra'at safek. Remember this hatra'at safek? V'chol hatra'at safek ein lokin alav. What's hatra'at safek? Your warning, when you, in order to get punished, you have to have a warning. And the warning has to be right before you do the act. Otherwise, you could say, oh, I didn't know it was us, sir. And they could say, what do you mean? I warned you earlier in the day. And they'll say, oh, I didn't remember that you said that. Right? A warning, in order for us to, it's actually, sometimes it's, you might think it's a little strange, but that's the way warnings work in halacha. It has to be right before the maase. Now, if you say, I swear I'm not going to eat all day, I'm going to eat, and then you don't eat, at what point in the day are you over on it, right? It's kind of every minute you're not mekayim, and, you know, the day ends and you haven't eaten. Well, it turns out you were over, but there's no actual moment of avera, so there's no moment of hatra'ah. So you can't actually, unless they say all day long, right, every second of the day, you can't call that a hatra'ah. That's hatra'at safek, and when there's hatra'at safek, you don't get malko. So therefore, it can't be either of the future cases. I won't eat, and then you eat, that's a maaseh. I will eat, and you don't eat, either it's a lav shem maaseh, you don't get malko, or we call that hatra'at safek, and you don't get malko. So therefore, that can't be the case. So, Ela Amar Rabbi Yavahu. Rabbi Yavahu comes and answers, what must it be? It must be, if not for the future, then for the past. Tei ba'achalti v'lo achalti. Okay, it must be I ate or I didn't eat. Umayshna dekamera be'achalti v'lo achalti, me'ochal v'lo ochal. So then why, right? Why would you get punished on past and not on future? Why would you get malkot for something you swore about in the past and not for something you swore about in the future?
Also, when you ask who you want.
Before you take the shvua, someone would say, you're about to swear. They say, you know if you swear falsely, you're going to get punished. And then he swears anyway. Okay? What? Okay. Notice there's a big difference between these. I want to point out another difference. When you swear on something that already happened, at the moment you swear, your shvua is sheker mamash as you say, which is a little different than you swore maybe ba'emet, I swear I'm going to eat, and then you just don't end up eating. It's a little different because the maaseh happens after the shvuah was taken. So you could also say it's a much more severe shvuah sheker because as you say the words, I swear, you're lying. Whereas at the beginning, maybe you weren't lying, but you just didn't fulfill your swear. We don't know what you were thinking at the time. Were you planning to fulfill it or were you planning not to fulfill it? We don't know.
So actually, you almost wonder how a future thing could be swearing falsely.
Right, because
you
right.
don't know if you're going
to. Right. Well, again, so there you'd have to view it. You're breaking your swear, right? You promise to do something. You're breaking your promise. It's different than swearing falsely. They're two different things, exactly. Right. One is breaking your promise, and one is promise. You know, swearing in the name of God falsely. So that's why you could also view them as different. So I'm a rabba. Beferush rifta Torah sheker do mi other shav. Mashav l'shavar, af sheker l'shavar. Ah, very simply. Where did we learn sheker gets malkot? From shav. Well, what's shav? Shav is when you say, I swear this rock, this pillar of rock is a pillar of gold, of silver or gold or whatever you say. Where you're swearing about something that was. You're actually swearing falsely at that moment, like this. So there, af sheker must be l'shavar. So Rabbi Abau says, again, what's Rabbi Abau? It's past. So now Rav explains why, and now we're going to have a question on Rabbi Abba. Etive Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abba. Now he's going to bring a question. Okay, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zo, shvua shelo ochlena, va'achala, eino chayav el achat. Okay, if you say, I swear I won't eat this, I swear I won't eat it, I swear I won't eat it, you're only chayav one korban. V'zoi shvuat bitoy, and this is going to be the key line, this is the case of a shvuat bitoy, of an expression. Remember we learned in... Okay, we learned in about the korban olevi yored. That's the korban that if you're poor or you're rich, you bring a different type of sacrifice. One of the things you bring it for is a shvuat bitui, okay? Which is an expression that, you know, you lie in your expression. What's the case according to this? So this Mishnah says, zoi shvuat bitui, okay, shvuat of the future, is a shvuat bitui shechayavin al zdona makot. Okay, if you do it, the zadon. You get, right, b'mezid. You get malkot, and that's the one, al shigigata, if you do it b'shoged, you get korban levi yored. Okay, and what's the case? Right, the case is shvua shelo ochlen, right? It's lahaba. Okay, this is a case where you're going to get malkot, and it's shelo ochal, and then you eat, it's a maaseh, and that's why you get it. So now, Zoe lemuute mai. Now Zoe is coming to say, this is the case where you're going to get malkot, but not in any other case. My lav lemuute, achalti velo achalti delo lake. Isn't this coming to teach, right? This case you get malkot, but in another case you don't get malkot. What would the other case be? If this is lahaba, then it should be l'shavar. Okay, now, if we're going to say l'shavar, you don't get malkot, that disproves, Rabbi Abau said, the whole case you get malkot is l'shavar. So they say, lo. Zoe, notice there were two things it said in the source. It said, right, if you say on the future, shvuat bitui, b'zadon you get malkot, b'shogeg you bring a korban olevi yored. So they're going to say, instead of assuming the Zoe says specifically this, you're going to get malkot. No. The specifically this is on the second part. You bring a korban olevi yored. Okay? Zoe, de'al shigigata maite korban. Aval achalti v'lo achalti lo maiti korban. But l'sha'avar lo mivi'im korban. Okay? The korban olevi yored is not al sha'avar, but you could still say, but you will get malkot on it, you just don't bring a korban olevi yored if you do it b'shogeg. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but this is umane, this is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. There was a whole debate, if you remember the last time we learned about these four cases, the two l'sha'avar, the two l'haba, the whole debate was, do you bring a korban olevi yored on all four, or do you bring them only on the future ones? So this must be Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, who says, "Damar eino chayav ela alati lavo." He says you're only chayav the korban olevi yored on future, aval milkalake, but you would still get malkot. Okay, you'd have to say that according to him, you would get malkot for it. In which case, Rabbi Abba's answer still stands. That again, what were we trying to do? The word nishva that we said before is one of the exceptions, is including Shvuat Sheker. Which case of Shvuat Sheker? L'sha'avar. That's what Rabbi Abba would explain, because it couldn't be Lahaba. So now they say, well, that sounds very good, except Ema Seifa. Look at the end of that source. Zoe Shvuat Shav, Shechayavina. Okay, it gave the case of the Shvuat Shav, where you say, Amud of Evan is made of silver and not stone, which is a lie. That's a shvuat shav shechayavin al zdona makot va'al shigigata patur. Okay, in this case, they're going to say b'shogeg you're patur mi korban olevi yored in this particular case, but you do get malkot for it b'mezid. So now, zoi lemiute mai. So what could a shvuat shav be coming to exclude? well, Shvuat Shav is about the past, right? So wouldn't we assume it's coming, Lemi'ute, also, Achalti v'lo Achalti, to say what? That you don't get Malkot for it. Why is it obvious now we're talking about Malkot? Because we just said a minute ago, L'sha'avar, you would bring a Korban, and this says, you're Patur from Korban. So it can't be excluding that. We already said it's Patur from a Korban. So, lo, no, you don't have to necessarily say it's talking about Malkot. Actually say, what I just said we couldn't say was, Da'al shigata patur mi korban. Aval achalti velo achalti maite korban. Ah, no, you could say, just like we said a minute ago with the previous section, the part b'shoge, your patur from korban olevi yored, in a shvuat shav, is coming to say, in a shvuat sheker, l'sha'avar, that's like a shvuat shav, where you said achalti, lo achalti, then you would have to bring a korban. Now, that obviously disagrees with what we just said a minute ago about Rabbi Yishmael, right? So now you'd say, oh, umane Rabbi Akiva hi. Okay, so now you have the first part is Rabbi Yishmael, the second part is Rabbi Akiva, right? Because one is saying, one is coming to exclude that case and say, you're not chayav a korban in l'shavar, and the other is coming to say, you are chayav a korban l'shavar. Da'amar, mevim korban l'shavar, because Rabbi Akiva says, you bring a korban l'shavar. So now they say, wait a minute. Bahamar Resha Rabbi Yishmael, but you just said the Resha is Rabbi Yishmael, and now you're going to say the same as Rabbi Akiva? Okay, so then I say, forget that answer. Let's go back to the beginning. Ela midasefa Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we're not exactly erasing everything. We're going to assume the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, which is coming to say, this case, Shvuat Shav, you're Patur from Korban Olev Yoled, but if you said, Achalti lo Achalti, you're going to be Chayav the Korban Olev Yoled. Reisha nami Rabbi Akiva, and the Reisha is also Rabbi Akiva. So now, what are you going to say? Reisha lav lemiute achalti below achalti. Notice the case in the Reisha. The Reisha didn't bring both cases of lehaba. It only brought the case of you say you're not going to eat and you eat, right? You're chayav malko. So what's it coming to exclude, right? Ela lemiute ochal velo achal. It's coming to say you get malko for that case of lehaba. But case number two of Lahaba, if you say, I'm going to eat, and you don't eat, that already we proved, you don't get Malkot. So that would make sense now. That's coming to exclude that case. Elamiyute ochal, and then lo achal. Umayshna, so now why would the first case of this source be coming to exclude ochal v'lo achal, which is Lahaba, and the second source is coming to exclude l'sha'avar? Because it makes sense. If you're talking about a case, the first part was talking about lahaba, shvua, shelo ochal, and then you eat. You're going to get malkot. So it makes sense that the case that would be coming to exclude would be similar to it, right? But kai b'lahaba memayit l'shavar, the whole thing you thought from the beginning is very weird. To think that it's talking about a lahaba case, a future case, and it's coming to exclude a case of the past, doesn't make so much sense. So what? Now it works very well. There's only one thing that's not 100% parallel. Well, just in the review, you'll see. We had the case of lahaba. We said, b'zadon is chayav malkot, b'shogeg is chayav korban olev yored. That's if you said, I'm going to eat, and then you don't eat. So, I'm sorry, you're not going to eat, and you actually eat, because there's a maaseh. It's coming to exclude the case where there's no maaseh, where you're actually not going to get malkot. So the exclusion is in the zadon case, okay? In the mazi case, you get malkot versus you don't get malkot. Whereas both of them, if you did them b'shogeg, you're actually going to be chayav the korban olev yored. The korban olev yored is for both those cases. In the second part, we have a case of shvuat shav, which is l'sha'avar. We're going to say b'zadon you're chayav malkot b'shogeg, you're patur mi korban olev yored, and it's coming to exclude the case of l'sha'avar, where you said achalti lo achalti, where you're going to get malkot, but you're not going to get, you're going to be chayav in the korban olev yored, like Rabbi Akiva, who holds all the cases, you're chayav in korban olev yored. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? That in the Reisha, we're coming to exclude the malkot issue, and in the Seifa, we're coming to exclude the korban issue. And that's the lack of parallelism, because each case has, in one it's parallel, and in one it's different. So it's a little tricky in that way. Okay, umeimer. Now we're getting to tomorrow. We're going to spend very little time on this. Amar Rabbi Akiva Latana. I'm sorry, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Latana. Rabbi Yochanan said not to the actual Tana. He said to the person who brought the Braita. Lo titne, the person who brought the Braita before him from Rabbi Yossi Aglili that said, you know, all these things that are exceptions. He actually says, tomorrow is not an exception. Umeimer mishum di b'diburo asa maaseh. He views, and this is what I referred to earlier, he views tomorrow as a maaseh. Because he says, what have you done? You've actually taken this animal and designated another animal in its place. So he basically says, that's actually a maaseh. Okay? And this really gets into, there's a diyun in the Achronim about what's the problem with Temura. Is it that you've uprooted the you tried to uproot the kedusha from the first animal, which then you would say, well, that's really not a maaseh, because all you did was you say, I don't want you to be sanctified anymore. You didn't actually do anything. That's really lacking maaseh. But if you say that it's that you tried to pass the kedusha onto a different animal, that you could actually view as a maaseh, because you're moving kedusha to something else, kind of like truma. If we view it as a maaseh, you've separated it, right? So that could be viewed as a maaseh. Hamekalel et chaverot b'shem. You curse someone in the name of God. Minalam. Where do we learn this from? Amar Rabbi Yoshai Amar Kra, im lo tishmor. Okay, this is a pasuk in Dvarim in the Tochacha, in Dvarim Kapchet. Im lo tishmor, where we have all the, what's going to happen in the future, all the bad things we're going to do, we're going to get punished. Im lo tishmor lasot et kol dvarei ha-Torah hazot, ha-ketuvim b'sefer hazeh, li-yir'at Hashem ha-nichbad ha-nora hazeh et Hashem Elokecha. To fear the name of God, right? What does that show? You have to fear the name of God. You can't use it in vain. Now, how did they get from there? We're going to have to explain. Number one, how do we know you got Malkot on it? And number two, how do you know that it's Mekalel et Shem Hashem? So the Chaveiro B'Shem, where you curse your friend in the name of, using the name of God. So the first thing they want to prove is, how do you know you get Malkot? So it says near in the next, it's the next Pasuk, V'ifla Hashem et Makotcha. Okay, which is not so clear what this means. You could say this is Malkot because it says Makot, but it's not so clear. So they say, Hafla zo eni yodea mahu. I don't know really what this means. Kishu omer v'hi pilo ha-shofet v'ikau lefanav. Where it talks about Malkot, and it uses, notice, they take hifli is to express, but hifla could also be from hipil, right? So what do they say? Hafla'a zo Malkot, so hipilo, right, comes lahapil, hashofet v'chao lefanav is Malkot. We see hapala, that shoresh in connection with Malkot, so this must be Malkot. Imor afilu shvuat emet. Now, why are you assuming? Here it says, if you should fear the name of God. Maybe that means you shouldn't ever swear, even if you're swearing truthfully, right? Why do you mean, as we're going to have to get to, how do you know it doesn't mean swearing truthfully? How do you mean, okay, why does it, we have to go all the way so far as to say it's only talking about someone who swears, curses his friend using the name of God? It could be lots of other things using the name of God. So the first thing they're going to say, maybe is shfuat emet, yubi chayav. No, behed yiktiv, it says by shomer sachar, someone who's watching your object from and is getting paid, and then he claims some onus happened to it, something beyond my control. Shvuat Hashem tiyah ben shneim, he has to swear. So there you see, the Torah is mechayev you to swear. Here's a fascinating line. Imor hanemile lefayetz et chaveiro, aval milke lach lilke. Maybe it means you have to swear in order to be exempted from the payment, but you get malko for actually having to swear. Now, the Torah is mechayev you to do something which is actually going to give you malko, okay, which is a crazy thing. Some people actually say that's not what it means. What it means is, the Ramban says it, it's quoted in the Masoret HaShas. He says, look at the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot, in Mitzvah Zion, I think it is. He says, no. What he means is, you might have thought, when it comes to an issue where you have to be Mefayes et Chaviro, it's allowed. But any other situation where the Torah is not Mechayev Shvua, and you swear for something truthfully, you say, I swear, then maybe you'll get Malkot for it. So then they say, Lo Matzid Amrek, you can't say that, Da'aktiv, Ubishmo Tishava. It says, you can swear in the name of God. Truthfully. So then they say, oh no, that pasuk, we need that pasuk for something else. That teaches us you're allowed to swear in order to keep mitzvot. You could say, I swear I'm going to keep this mitzvah. Pasuk from Tehillim. So then they say, so Shmoti Shabbat comes to teach you that specific halacha, but any other shvuat emet, maybe you would get malko for it. And they say, no, because haktiv krachrina. There's another pasuk which says, uboti dvaku b'shmoti shava. And therefore, ele lamai ata. So therefore, you must be allowed to do shvuat emet. So what must this coming to teach you? L'makalel chavero b'shem. Okay? We're still not done with this. We're going to continue tomorrow and suggest other possibilities that are in between shvuat emet and cursing your friend using the name of God.